Look, without further ado, I just want to invite Peter, Lynn and James. Where is he? He's over there on the side. Peter and I go back quite a bit, and I just want to honour this guy. The amount of stuff that this guy goes through to do what he does, and if I had half the heart of this guy to save the lost and to restore and transform, man, he's an incredible guy. You are an incredible guy. And I know you don't like the praise, but all honour and glory to you. And I want to do this now before he preaches, but I just want to, if we can all stand and just reach out our hands, because whether you know it or not, he's going through tough times. You know, Shalom's being attacked left, right and centre. And look at that, Pete. You've got the saints all over this place, all over Perth, all got your back, mate. And God's got your back, and he's got your back through us. So, Heavenly Father, we just lift up this mighty man of God. Lord, we just thank you for his leadership. We just thank you, Lord, for all the people that works with him tirelessly. And, Lord, I pray against any blockages in Jesus' name. Lord, starting right up from the federal government down to the state government, down to the local government, Lord, we rebuke the blockages in Jesus' name. We ask you pour out your blessing on ministers and counselors alike. But, Lord, we just pray a blessing and an almighty blessing and an anointing on Shalom House. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, for Peter and Amanda. We just ask that that they will go from strength to strength to strength through the power and the glory of your Holy Spirit. And we just pray, Lord, for supernatural protection upon him and Amanda and all the team at Shalom. And we just pray that blessing in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, Amen. Amen. Thanks, mate.
So I've got your joke for you, Kerry. And you Shalomians are not allowed to say anything. Otherwise, you're grounded for 3 months to restart the program. So why did the koala fall out of the tree? It died. Why did the second one fall out of the tree? No, because the first one hit it. And he got to put a sock over his mouth for his last bit. So why did the third one fall out of the tree? Thought it was a game. That was all right. Koala. Hey, that scripture, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, will run not grow weary, walk not grow in faint. It's really in line with today's message. I just want to talk to you about holding on to Jesus. I've been a Christian probably, my beautiful, gorgeous wife, it's probably about 22 years, is it? I remember back when I heard people about saying that I've been a Christian for 22 years. I thought, wow. Well, now I've been a Christian for 22 years. You're onto it. And it is. It's hard to be a Christian. And it's like, to be a Christian, it don't make sense. I mean, the hardest thing I've ever done with life is to be a Christian. I'm 26 years in prisons, institutions, sticking picks in my arms, breaking houses, stealing cars, doing all that dodgy stuff that I used to have fun doing. And then I want to become a Christian, learning how to be a Christian when my normality was completely opposite to what Christianity stands for. And then now, 20 years later, it's hard not to be a Christian. It's like, it's hard to be a Christian, 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 it's hard to be a Christian. And then you get over the hill, and then you go throw a piece of paper out the window. We can't do that. Oh, it's hard to be a Christian. You walk past a piece of rubbish, pick it up. Oh, I'm not going to pick it up. Say, yes, sir, no, sir, 3 bags full, sir. It's like this voice inside of me now is louder than one that used to be inside of me. Isn't that good? I reckon it's a duck's nuts, personally. Duck's nuts, by the way, means really, really good. Hold on to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of faith, the joy set before him, endured the cross. My sign man up there he is. I think we got one of them with scriptures. So I just want to talk about holding on Jesus, onto Jesus. And I'm going to just share a bit of my journey, Shalom's journey, and we're just going to make our way through the scriptures. But fix your eyes on Jesus. What does it mean to fix your eyes on Jesus? It's like when I was in Riverbank, which is a boys' prison over in Caversham. It was 18th of May 1986. I had Alan Shepherd from Breaker and Chain Ministries, and they come in and put this scripture, this teaching on. movie on. It was Crosses the Switch, played David Wilkinson and Nicky Cruz. And I remember watching that movie that night. My whole life, I used to hate who I was. I hate the way I spoke, the way I thought, the way I acted. I hated my life. I hated my mum, my dad, my family. I just felt like I was a complete and total reject from society. And then I watched this David Wilkinson movie and how this bloke, Nicky, he got nuked by God. Nuke means he had an encounter with God. But he got nuked, and I watched how he went from how I was into a complete geek like Kerry is today. So I'm a geek, right? Productive member of society, free from influence of drugs and substances. There's a lady I was talking to outside. She's just become here. Anyway, he got nuked and become a geek, and I just wanted what he had. I mean, my whole life, I just wanted to be a normal person. I wanted to run up the corridor and jump in bed with mum and dad for a cuddle. I wanted to go on family holidays. I wanted a dad to teach me how to play sports, and I wanted a report card. I don't even have a report card. I got one certificate, and I think it was a confidence certificate, swimming certificate, like I put my feet in the water. I don't know what that first one is. What's that first one? Something like that. Yeah, we're going to call it something like that. So I've got one of them somethings like that. But nothing, and I just wanted that. And then I remember going back to my cell, and I prayed that prayer, God, if you're real, and if you could change Nikki's life, you could change my life. And then I got nuked. I remember sitting in my cell and on my knees, and the snot pouring out, the stuff pouring out my nose, and I was just crying, and I felt the fullness of his presence. And it was the first time in my life I actually felt completely, it's just unexplainable, unconditional, uncomprehending, unconditional, flawless, beautiful love. It washed me from the tip of my head to the soles of my feet, and I just couldn't stop crying. And he gave me that scripture back then. It was John 8:31-32. It says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will know the truth, Peter, and the truth will set you free. And I used to go around telling everyone in jail about God and all that sort of stuff. And I felt it, and I started Bible studies in my cell. I think I was the first one in Riverbank to get baptized by a fellow named Alan Christensen. And but when I got out of jail, I stopped reading my Bible. I didn't hold on to Jesus. I didn't fix my eyes on Jesus. When I got out, I stopped reading the Word. And the Word of God is not just a book. The Word of God is what equips us. It's what sustains us. It's what strengthens us. It's what leads us, and guides us, empowers us, equips us, restores us, convicts us. It just does everything. All you need is the Word of God. But how do I communicate to people who don't know what it is that I know? I didn't know that back then. I didn't know that I had to read the Word of God. God's Spirit in me feeds off the Word of God. God speaks to me through His Word. He is the Word. And when I got out, I just took my eyes off Jesus. And then I just got lost for another 20 years. And I went through a lot of bad stuff. Same like I went for the last 20 years. And then in 2001, when I became a Christian again, I mean, I remember over the years, every time I got locked up again, or every time I hit the bottom of the bottom of the bottom, I'd say, God, if you're there, I know you're there, I know you love me. I remember sitting back in Canningvale when I'd done 3 at Lagan. Every night for the first year, I'd roll on my side and I'd just talk to my best mate. And it was God. I'd just say, God, I know you're there. Look after my wife, look after my kids. Give me the strength to get through this stuff. And then when I get out, I just go like a dog to the vomit, a pig to the mud. I didn't read the Bible, but I did pray to him. I just always knew that he was there. And that was from 18, but I still didn't fix my eyes on God. Everything we need is in Him. Your house, your car, your children, your family, your memories, everything is in with Him. And when we take your eyes off Him and try to bring about what it is that we desire without Him, it doesn't work. And when you do get it, you haven't been prepared or equipped to be able to hold on what it is that you get, and it goes through your hands. I didn't realize that when I became a Christian, I had to go through all these different processes. I threw out ups and downs, ins and outs, and I had to get my faith to grow. But fixing your eyes on Jesus. When I got nuked again, I had that second encounter, and I was determined to fix my eyes on Jesus. Now, when you feel His presence, and when you're all alone, and you're He's just gorgeous, you know what I'm saying? I'm watching you when you're worshiping before, and I can just see the love. I see Grantley Penny. I see how you're expressing worship, man. It's beautiful. You know what I mean, don't you? Don't you reckon you love Him? You know what I mean, you're about to go do a lagging too, aren't you? You're about to do a couple of years jail, and you know Jesus is with you. Don't take your eyes off Him, man. Yeah. But when you fix your eyes on him, everything you want and everything you need is there. And I was determined in 2001 not to take my eyes off God. And I've got to say, these last 10 years, and I said at Shalom Church a couple of weeks back, have been the hardest 10 years of my life. It doesn't make sense, the stuff that I'm going through. It really doesn't make sense. Now, I used to steal your car or break into your house or sell your family members, loved ones, drugs. I used to just do lots of bad stuff. And I never got in trouble. I mean, every 12 months I get done by the coppers and then I get a jail stint, or I'd have to run from one place to the next. But I never really got in trouble. I just done it. And there's now, when you do the right thing, everyone hates your guts. Serious. They hate your guts. I for the life of me, I can't comprehend where it's coming from. I know my conscience is clear. I know I've fixed my eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of my faith, who the joy set before me endured the cross. I've fixed my eyes on Jesus, the author. In other words, he started the book. He knows he knows the end from the beginning. He's before it happens, when it happens, after it happens. He's the author and he's the perfecter of my faith. I'm not going to let it go of Jesus. The last 20 years, every day I start my day with God, I end my day with God. I started my day with God, but the heavens are like brass. Who's had the heavens of brass over your head? I prayed when I don't want to pray. I went to church when I didn't want to church. I'm holding on to Jesus. He's all we need and all we want and all. He's just everything. But the last 10 years, it just doesn't make sense. All the yucky stuff that comes against you. As a Christian, you're going to get persecuted. It's like the presence of God, what we carry, the world doesn't like it. And it'll do whatever it can to tear us down. Shalom's conscience is clear now. Finances are clear now. Everything is all about is this conscience 100%. But yet, you're going to get it. You know, man, and it just doesn't make sense. You're going to get lies and false articles. You're going to get journalists who win award telling lies. You're going to get people who hate you. You're going to get people who rock up at your door doing... And none of it is justified. If it was justified... But it's not justified. But what's God called us to? Seriously, what's God called us to? Love. What else? Compassion. Mercy. Humility. Gentleness. Meekness, truth, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, for great is your reward. Vindication is mine, saith the Lord, that I am the righter of all wrongs. That no matter what we go through in this life as a Christian, vindication is mine, saith the Lord, that I am the righter of all wrongs, and he calls us to leave our case in the hands of him who judges justly. And that's Shalom stuff, that's Peter's stuff, that's your stuff, that's our stuff. We are the light of the world. The Bible says, let your light shine. I see what I've gone through in the last 10 years, and I just see the faithfulness of God, the love of God, the compassion of God, the goodness of God, the mercy of God. And I see that all the things that I've gone through have strengthened me, not only to be who he wants me to be today, but who he's called us to be in what's coming. In the last 12 years, I've watched him do what he'd done, not because of me, but in spite of me. You know, when you come alive as a Christian and you want to, you hallelujah, praise the Lord, and you want to tell everybody about what Jesus has done? Who's had that? And we're full on God botherers. But when you come from where we've come from or suffer with what we've suffered from, and then all of a sudden Jesus comes alive, you want to tell people how beautiful and wonderful and glorious he is, eh? I mean, he's worthy of it. He's like, but people don't know what we know. And it's not until you start settling down and you start maturing a bit and you start realising, hang on a second, it's not you, it's him and you, and it's not because of you, but it's in spite of you, and it's not you in the lead, it's you in the back. And we learned that. Who learned that the hard way? Nearly everybody in here. And you see these on fire younger Christians, and they think, oh, one day... But some of us, I know some people who are still on fire Christians and have always been on fire Christians. But it's not because of us, it's in spite of us. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He knows the end from the beginning. And what he said to me in the last 20 odd years, especially the last 12 years, in 2010 I finished at Acacia Prison 5 days, was it 3 days a week, for 5 years as a volunteer. And then I fought down all the different rehabs and I was helping out where I could. But I had an experience in 2010 where I stuffed up. I had a thought in my mind that God had given up on me and I made a silly choice. And I went and done something within 24 hours and made a major boo-boo. But I still prayed even in my major boo-boo. Even when I came out the other side, I still prayed in my major boo-boo. But for the last 10, 12 years, it's been awesome to see what God's done, not because of me, but in spite of me. But he asks us on a daily basis to seek first the kingdom of God above all else, to get up every day, to take one day at a time, because each day has enough trouble as its own. And my wife last night preached at our church. It was off the charts message. Who reckons? Yeah. It was like she was Kuda, my princess. She's like, that was a good message. Well, I'll give Joyce Meyer a run for her money. But it was about worry. And she used examples of meltdowns of her kids and worry and how it manifests in the next fruit, the next fruit, the next fruit. And like when you wake up in the morning, what you wake up with is what you go to bed with. How often do you get up in the morning and you hear this voice, you're useless, you're no good, and your brain accepts it, and you're going to have a hard day today, and you're thinking, well, I'm going to have a hard day today, and you go about your day, and you've wasted your whole day worrying about the day. Who does that? Yeah. So it's about watching what you put in your brain. It's about taking one day at a time. It's about breaking life down in manageable pieces. If you bring your yesterday into today, you miss today. If you bring your tomorrow into today, you miss today. And if you get up in the morning with an attitude of gratitude, if you get up this morning with an attitude of gratitude, your day is completely different. An attitude of gratitude by Amanda Linda James. But I love your preaching, sweetie. You know what I mean? I love your preaching. I love you. But 30, you know, isn't he good? So attitude of gratitude. What you go to bed with is what you wake up with. So I've learnt now is what I go to bed with is what I wake up with. And as I go to bed, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I wake up in the morning, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I wake up with it. But I do, now and again, I get that thought coming in my head that tries to take me out. And if I swap from Jesus loves me, this I know, to this other one, what happens? You're taken out. And you lose half your day and what's inside of you flows out of you. And you're just walking around negative, you can't be around people. And she also shared the expression, she was at Bible college studying with a couple of girls from Shalom House and you, Ben. And they wanted her to stay behind and do the dishes. But because what she went to bed with wasn't what she woke up with, she woke up negative and she just wanted to get the heck out of there. Do you remember that? And that was like 4 months ago. But she shared that with me last night. But it's true. But how do we recalibrate ourselves every day to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith? He knows the end from the beginning. Nothing surprises God. He knew the mistake I was going to make in 2010. I mean, he knew the mistake I was going to make in 1986 on 18th of May. He knows the mistakes that you're going to make yesterday, today, and tomorrow, next week. He knows your faults, your flaws, your ups, your downs, your goods, your bads. He knows everything about us. Nothing is a surprise for him. And it's all a tool to refine us, to purify us, to equip us, to restore us, to lead us, to guide us. None of it makes sense. None of it I want to go through. But you've got to go through what you've got to go through to be who it is that he wants you to be. I finished reading Job this morning. Who finished reading Job? Every Shalom person should put their hand up because it was just the last part of the Devos. But he didn't want to go through. He went through. But look at what he went through. You know, and he's not a righteous man because only Jesus is righteous. But wow. Look what he went through. You know, and we've got to go through it. No matter what comes our way, we've got to fix our eyes on Jesus. No matter what the words spoken against you are, no matter how you feel, no matter what happens financially, it's just like we mentioned the other day, me and my wife, we sold our property a couple of years back and we sold it for a decent price. And I put $600K as an investment into this fella because we've been full-time volunteers for like 10, 12 years and put the $600K with this dude and it'd been there for like a couple of years and every week we'd get... every month we'd get $7,500. That's pretty good, eh? That's pretty good. Interest 15%, $600K. And about 4 months back, it just got wiped out. The whole $600K. How would you feel if you're $600K and all you had was wiped out? Doesn't bother. It's only money. doesn't faze us, not even slightly. We were talking about it again last night on the way home. Just honestly, we don't worry, we don't have to fret. God knows the end from the beginning, and we've got complete and total peace on it. But it doesn't make sense to have complete and total peace. 10 years back, we would have not had complete. We would have been manifesting, chucking donuts on the floor. You know what I mean? Who do we ring? The lawyers and all that. I just love them, Lord. It's only money. And I just love that God has done that in me and my wife. And I just love it. And I wouldn't have been like that if I hadn't gone through what I've gone through. It's not about money. And it's about a relationship with a beautiful, loving, living, awesome, magnificent, mighty God. In this life, we're going to go through lots of stuff. For James, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance, it must finish its work, that you be complete, whole, full, lacking in nothing. You might have a different one out there, but it says, rejoice in the times of trials and tribulations. Rejoice when you lose your money. Rejoice when you make mistakes. Rejoice when you can't pay your bills. What did you say yesterday, man? It also said, the attitude of gratitude, praise him for the little things. Lord, thank you for the food on my table. Thank you for the clothes on my back. Thank you, Lord, for the pastor that comes up and opens your bottle of water, because you can see you've only got one hand. Thanks, Kerry. But just thanking him. This morning I got my beautiful wife. I woke up and had my shower and got on my knees. And then in come my gorgeous princess with his plate, and it has 2 pieces of Vegemite and toast, cut in 4 quarters. It has a cup of tea, and it has all these pills. I don't know what all these pills are, but when you get fat and 50, you've got to take all these. And I've stopped counting them now. I just stick in big gobflers. But then I get on my knees and I start and I pray, and I thank God for my toast. I thank God for my woman. I thank God for the roof over my head. I thank him for the fuel in my car. Man, I'm the richest man on the planet. Yeah, I'm the richest man on the planet. I'm just so grateful that I can turn on the tap and I've got water. And I mean that. I mean, but all of this hasn't come with a nice fluffy pillow. It's come by curling up in a ball and crying. It's come by not wanting to leave your house some days. It's come by unjustly when people speak stuff against you. It comes by getting attached to people and they just smack you in the belly with a baseball bat and in the back of the head, and they leave Jamie Piena. You know, and there's a few other fellas I've got attached to, and people in Shalom, you just see them go progress, and then they derail, and it takes you out, and then you're getting, hang on a second. One of the lessons God did teach me says that when a person comes into your company, or when a person comes into Shalom, you're not the potter, he's the potter. And some of the people that he's brought, he's only brought for a day. Some people he's brought for a month, some people he's brought for 6 months, some 12. But he knows what he's doing between when they come in and when they go out. And he said to me, he says, Peter, focus on what you can change, not on what you can't. And when they're in your presence, do what you're supposed to do. Do what I've called you to do. And when you leave, they're not your problem, they're my problem. And that's again another one that's come through. But I wouldn't have come to know all that if I didn't go through what it is I've gone through. Rejoice in the times of trials and tribulations, because the testing or the putting into practice of faith, it develops perseverance, it strengthens you, it empowers you to live this life that God has called us to live. God has called us to take up our cross and to deny ourselves the stuff of the flesh and other things that other people would think is okay. But it used to be hard. Now it's not hard. We're talking on the way here. I don't have a desire for drugs anymore. I don't have a desire to use meth or anything like that. But back, it was hard to break that off, you know what I mean? I thought I was missing out, but I'm not missing out. So rejoice in the times of trials and tribulations, because of putting into practice your faith develops perseverance. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. You know it. You just know. Even when you're going through it, you hear this voice. Come on, Peter, put into practice. Wrong choice, right choice, wrong choice, right choice. You make the right choice, his presence comes back on you. Hallelujah, love you, Jesus. Everything's nice and dandy. And then you're floating around, and it's like a cup full of water. And then someone says something to you, you respond wrongly, you feel it lift. Oh, my God, who's that? That's not very nice, is it? But he wants us to be cups full of the Master's presence. He wants us to be cups or carriers of his presence. And when you'll find, if you're walking, if the steps of it, what's it, the steps of a righteous man are ordained by the Lord, when you're walking in right with God and you can feel him, he goes ahead of you, behind you, to the left of the triadia. I mean, he's just off the chops. Romans 5:3, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know suffering produces perseverance. Again, anyone, what's perseverance? Perseverance. Mr. Pastor Kerry? Perseverance. What is that? Tag team. Strength. Holiness. If you stood me and Kerry up here right now, and Kerry was here, and I'm here, and we put 5 kilometre run before us, who do you reckon would make the 5K?
Thank you.
That's true. You would. Compared to like a few months back, when I went right down and I looked like Tom Cruise, and I had all that like six pack. Now it's like I've found what you lost. But perseverance, it helps us to finish what we started. It helps us to run a race longer than anybody else. It gives us the strength to do what we can't do in ourselves. And it doesn't come in a little box. It comes through trials and tribulations. It comes through when you're feeling that everything else is around you is gone. What do you do in that place? What do you do? Do you still pray? Do you still read your Bible? Do you still go to church? It's putting into practice what you know is true. It's putting into practice what is torture. And bit by bit by bit, you mean, yes, sir, no, sir, three for Excel, sir. I remember for years I used to pray that prayer, Lord, whatever I have to go through to be all you want me to be, have your way in me. Who's prayed that prayer? It's a dangerous prayer. I'm telling you, it's probably one of the most dangerous prayers you've ever prayed. Lord, whatever I have to go through to be all you want me to be, have your way in me. Shall the clay say to the potter, Lord, why do you make me this way? Nah, Lord. Whatever I got to go through, even if I got to go through the flames of hell and back, have your way. Yeah, you don't want to pray the prayer. Honestly. And we look, there's all these people in this room and all of us. Who has something that you don't like what you do that you know upsets God? Be honest. Who makes mistakes nearly on a daily basis? We don't want to do what we do, but we do what we do. We don't want to do what we do, but we do it anyway. And you feel bad about doing what you're doing, and God doesn't want you to do what you shouldn't do. He wants you to do what it is that he wants you to do. But you've got to go through this stuff to bring about who he wants you to be or who he is in you, if that makes sense. But if I was God, I reckon I'd do it differently. I do. I reckon I'd do it differently. I'd put me in a matrix, put a tube in my head, put those wires in there, reprogram me, come out, and I'll be, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I would. I hope you listen, God. No. That's how I'd do it. It'd be a lot easier and more comfortable. But it's not. God, he's so gorgeous, isn't he? And then even when you go through the hardest stuff in your life, I've got friends who just passed away from suicide. Somebody else has passed away from cancer. I've got somebody else who's in an ICU ward. I've got all these people going through this stuff. But God knows the end from the beginning. He's with you in the cancer. He's with the family in the suicide. He's there. He doesn't want it to happen, but it's part of this world that we live in. It's just like, I mean, no eye has seen. The Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind could ever conceive what God has for those who love him. For those who have been called according to his purpose. For those he predestined to be conformed into the image of his son. I mean, God has predestined every person. He knows those who are his. I mean, it's just like our wisdom is his foolishness. He's a logistical mastermind. He can put 100,000 people in one place for a half a second. I mean, he's just off the charts. And just when you think you get to know how he does it, he does it somewhere else or something else somewhere. Oh, he does your head in, doesn't he? But you can't say that he does your head in because then you get convicted. It's like, well, I just want to talk about it. You mean, well, you don't need to talk about it. Well, I just got to talk about it. Someone got to talk about somebody. And then later on, it's like, you know, you can't talk about it. So Romans 8:38-39 says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor any height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Isn't that beautiful? When you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God is God and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God removes your sin as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers it no more. He sets you aside, he sanctifies you, he justifies you, and he puts you in Christ. You are in Christ. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have been sealed into the day of redemption. But now he's just got to get the world out of you. He's got to work at conforming you into the image of his Son. And to actually really hold on to work with God, you just got to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author, perfecter of your faith, and just know that no matter what you go through, death, sickness, disease, tsunami, earthquakes, shootings, that God is faithful. God is kind. God is loving. He knows the end from the beginning. He's with you in the dark place. He's with you in the light place. He's right in his staff. It leads you. It guides you. He is faithful, and he can't be anything else other than faithful. We have been sealed into the day of redemption. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your life's not just yours, it's his. But he wants to live in us, dwell in us, move in us. But when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness. Oh, isn't that good? I used to say to my wife on a daily basis, I hate myself. I hate the way that I speak. I hate the way that I think. I hate the way that I treat people. I hate that I'm just not normal. Who's done that sort of stuff? But God, when he grabs us, he not only catches us, he not only seals us and sanctifies us, he cleans us. He's transforming the way we think, the way we speak, the way we act. And if you haven't got your eyes on Jesus and you've got your eyes over here, and there's a process that we've all got to go through as Christians, he can't take you on that process. To fix your eyes on Jesus means to read your word. To fix your eyes on Jesus means to pray when you don't want to pray, go to church when you don't want to go to church, listen to teachings, put into practice what he's telling you. Because it's like going in for an operation. If you go in for an operation and you haven't gone and seen the anaesthetist and you had all that, what's it called, that stuff they put on you for and prepared you for surgery, can you go through the surgery? No, because you probably come out worse than what you went in. I mean, it's like God has got to get all this stuff out of us and clean us, but he won't put you through that process if he's not equipped. You'll get to here, and you just wonder why you just stayed the same. If you're still the same where 10 years ago you are than you are today, why are you doing what you should be doing? Because we are being transformed or changed from glory to glory to glory to glory. And the first five stages here is different than the five stages over here. But we're all being transformed from here. But if you've started going up the ladder and you've just stepped off the ladder and stepped to the side and you're just living Christianity, not actually putting it into practice, and you're stalled. You get it? So fixing your eyes on Jesus is non-stop. He can't take you through the operation. You just step on the side and you're just sitting there. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run and only one gets the prize, but run in a way to get the prize. Everybody who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last ever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, that I myself will not be disqualified. I honestly say with all my heart that I know that Jesus Christ is the way. I know that he is the truth, and I know that he is the life. I know that he loves every one of us. He loves your faults. He loves your flaws. He loves your mistakes. He loves your ups. He loves your downs. He knows when you're going to step off the ladder. He knows when you're going to respond incorrectly. He knows when you're going to drink and when you shouldn't drink. And when you, he just knows everything. But he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. But he asks for every one of us just to fix our eyes on Jesus. He says to seek first the kingdom of God above all else. Take one day at a time, because each day has enough trouble of its own. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Take one day at a time, because each day has enough trouble of its own. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Take one day at a time, because each day has enough trouble of its own. When you get up tomorrow morning, you start your day with God. You get on your knees, you get your toast, you get your tea, and you pray. Lord, show me in your word. Open your word. You read the word of God, and then you cast your cares upon the Lord. And by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Proverbs 16:3 says, cast your cares upon him. Pray about your day. And just go out and just be the best you can be and focus on what's on today. And when you put your head on the pillow, we're going to make a mistake, but he knows your mistake. If you're feeling condemned, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Condemnation's not from God, it's from the enemy. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and no weapon or word formed against you can prosper. Because greater is he that is in you than he was in the world. You just run your race, fix your eyes on Jesus, one day at a time. I want to be the best me I can be today. I want to make the best decisions I can make today. I just want to be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. I don't want to go through any more trials, please God. Not for a while anyway. Give me a break. And I just want to be a good person today. But I'm going to make mistakes. If you make a mistake and you're about to get on their knees at the end of the day, and Lord, I just want to say I'm sorry, Lord, for kicking the three-legged cat. Lord, I want to say I'm sorry, Lord, for cutting off the car and when he gave me the birdie and beeped his horn and all that. And you apologise for your day, and then all of a sudden you get Jamie Pianta's head in your head. Where's Jamie? Jamie over there. And they get Jamie and they go, oh, no, Lord, I've got to ring him up and say I'm sorry. Oh, I don't want to ring him up and say I'm sorry. No, let him suffer. He hasn't got a phone. Ah, he hasn't got a phone. Thank you, Lord. Ring his house later. No, I don't want to ring his house later. Oh, I've got to ring his house later. Okay, hang on, Lord. No, get up and you go ring and say, Jamie, don't want to be rude, don't want to be disrespectful. I took offense here today because you called me a chippy. Please forgive me. And then he goes, no worries, Pete, we kiss and cuddle. And then we put the phone down, and then I go back in the room and say, is that all right now? He goes, that's all right. Oh, you feel the tickle of the Holy Spirit on the inside here. Well done, son. You know, well done, son. Humble yourself before the Lord. Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall see God. You know, vindication is mine, saith the Lord, that I am the writer of all wrongs. Oh. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has got prepared for those who love him, for those who have been called according to his purpose. Your purpose isn't my purpose. Your calling isn't my calling. And if you're not where God wants you to be, he'll put you there. I mean, we spoke, is are you where God wants you? Well, if you're just doing that on a daily basis, you'd be. And if he wants you, he'll move you. Oh, it's just so. I reckon we could just get up, right, and chill and just rest in him and just say, and just float like Mary Poppins. I mean, just put my skirt on and my little tootsies. But just chill. I reckon we make it harder than what it really is. We put expectations on ourselves, and he's just a good, good God. He's a good, good Father. There's this song by Glennie Owen, and it's just like, if you ever, you just sit there and you just listen to the words. It's hard to be a Christian. It's hard. It's hard. I don't deserve what they're saying. I don't deserve this. Well, I didn't deserve to die for you. I mean, it's hard to be a Christian. It's hard not to be a Christian. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that anymore. Life, summer, winter, autumn, spring. Life is full of seasons, ups, downs, ins and outs. I don't know where you're at. But there's no condemnation, no guilt, no shame, no nothing for those in Christ Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author of effective faith. He knows the end from the beginning. Take one day at a time. Don't make it too hard. But there's this song by Glennon Sowen. Did you find that, bro? And so I'm going to play a song. I'm not going to play a song. I always wanted to be able to play a song, but I don't know how to play a song because I don't know how to use instruments. I know how to use a screwdriver. We used to call them Freddies back in the day. And it says, the pathway is broken and the signs are unclear. I don't know the reason why you brought me here. But just because you love me, Lord God, in the way that you do, I'm going to walk through this valley if you want me to. I know I can speak for a lot of people. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't. I want to be up with Jesus, where the imperfect is made perfect, where every tear is wiped away, where every question is answered. I want to be in the fullness of his presence. I honestly do, but that's selfish. And as long as I'm here and there's blood in my veins and air in my lungs, I've got to be who God's called me to be. Not just for me, but for those around me. And imagine if we could all just get up and take one day at a time, fix our eyes on God, and we could all just be who God has called us to be, and we just be the best us we can be. That we would respond how he responds. We would talk how he talks. That we would steward our money how he wants us. If we were, just imagine, no division. If the church of God was like Hungry Jack, she'd be chockers. But we won't go down that road. Some like KFC, some like Chicken Treat, some like Nando's, some like Hillside Church. It's good, isn't it? It's probably the most beautiful church I've come to, actually. Nice pastor and his wife. We're going to listen to this song, and I'll just encourage you, don't watch the clip because it's not about the clip, but it's just listen to the words of the song. And I don't know about you, but there's many times where I've just curled up in a ball at home and I've just listened to this song and just cried. I mean, he's a gorgeous, beautiful, wonderful God. I'm just going to pray and then we're going to go to the song. So close your eyes, please, and keep them closed until the end of the song, actually. And Lord, I want to thank you for who you are. I want to thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life and what you're doing in the lives of all of us here today, Dad. I want to thank you for the privilege and the honour, Lord, to hold on to this mic, Lord, and to be able to speak in another pastor's church. I love you, Dad. I adore you. And I know, Lord, that I'm nothing without you. I know that we need you, Lord. And Lord, we ask your forgiveness, Lord, for, just not fixing our eyes on you, to making the little things big things and just being double-minded and unstable sometimes. But we know that you know the end from the beginning. I pray, Lord, that you'd pour out your love and your goodness upon all of us, that you would strengthen us to fix our eyes on you, to take one day at a time, and just to be the best us we can be. And Lord, as we listen to this song, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to not focus on anything else other than what you're going to tell us through this song. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.